The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Happy Thursday, everyone, or happy Saturday morning, whichever one applies to you, or happy iTunes listening or WGCellRadio.com. It is Thursday, and I am actually in Miami, so I came in early on Wednesday afternoon to pre-record an intro to replay last week's show, which was outstanding, with Mary Beth Franklin, the guru on Social Security and Medicare, formerly with Kiplinger Magazine, now contributing editor of Investment News. If you didn't listen to it all, you'll want to try again. If you listen to it once, it's worth another listen. So let's do a little news of the week, brought to you, of course, by Kenny Bland Auctions. They are your full-service auction service, offering the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Just checked them out last night. Some great stuff coming up. And give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call my friend Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And finally, new to the show, Unrivaled Electric. They're your full-service electrical contractor specializing in generators, which he has one in my yard, services it every year, it works like a charm, and solar arrays. So if you want solar for your home, it's veteran-owned, and I like that a lot. Unrivaled Electric wants to be your electrician just like they are mine. Give him a call or text him at 812-361-3604. Find them on Facebook. That's Unrivaled Electric. We've had a bull run under our hands, believe it or not, or on our hands, nearly in the last 11 months since bottoming out on the 23rd of March of 2020. The S&P's up 77.5% through last Friday. The fourth largest monthly budget deficits in U.S. history occurred, yes, you guessed it, in 2020. It was June, April, May, and February, running from as low as $235 billion all the way into June of $864 billion. Crazy, as we looked at back and we see over $3.2 trillion of stimulus and more to come. It just keeps making the narrative better that the deeper we get in debt, the more aware we need to be of increasing taxes down the road. There's a lot of talk about raising taxes on certain people to rank in the top 0.1% of all U.S. taxpayers back in 2018. That's one out of the top 1,000 taxpayers, or one out of 1,000. You needed to have an AGI of $2.5+ million. That came from the IRS. The U.S. population reached 200 million people back in 1967, 300 million in 2006, 39 years later. It was projected by February of 2020 to reach 40 million in 2058. Today's population is 330 million, so we've increased by 30 million since 2006. I can tell you what's happened, folks, is that we're not having as many babies as we used to. 81%, if you look at the pandemic and what's happened, 81% of U.S. pandemic deaths as of February of this year were Americans at least age 65, hence the age-based, age-banded vaccination. 1% of the deaths were in Americans under 35. Let's see, outlays. U.S. consumer spending dropped 3% during 2020, and that's amazing that it only dropped 3%. But that's a combination of spending on goods, which increased by 6%, while spending on services fell by 7%. We're lucky to have come out of this that good. That came from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Lucky person or unlucky, this is a conversation we have every day with people coming into our office trying to plan for a successful retirement and an income plan. If you think you can just throw it all in the market and pull it out, well, maybe you're lucky, maybe you're not. A person with $1 million invested 100% in the S&P 500 back in 1973, and if they withdrew an inflation-adjusted $100,000 a year, which would be silly, they were out of money in 9 years. A second person with $1 million, same thing, but they started investing after that 9-year period in 1982. Same inflation-adjusted withdrawal of $100,000, they would have $6.3 million after 39 years. And finally, you probably saw in the news, Tiger Woods was in a car wreck and was banged up pretty bad. And of course, you know, everyone's talking about whatever is on their mind. But the reality of it is, he's an icon in the sports world. And Tiger Woods has actually earned $121 million in career earnings from playing golf on the PGA Tour, but has earned $1.5 billion, that's with a B, in his career from endorsements, appearances, and course design work that comes directly out of Forbes. So wish Tiger Woods all the best in his recovery, and hopefully we see him walking down the 18th in the Masters in just a few years to come to end out what could be the best or one of the very best golf careers ever. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, the replay of last week's show with the icon herself, Mary Beth Franklin. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Extremely excited to have Mary Beth Franklin back on the program. She has graced us with her presence many times in the past, has been really known, in my opinion, as the person that single-handedly shut down some of the Social Security claiming strategies that we so eloquently talked about here on the show. And she's now with me. Of course, she was the former employee over at Kiplinger, now with Investment News, and does all kinds of great things out on the internet now with podcasts. And Mary Beth, welcome back to the big show.
Well, thanks, David. I'm always delighted to be a guest on your program.
It was around 2005 or 2006 when you and I first met. It was at an Ed Slott conference, and I believe we had dinner together.
I remember that.
It was incredible, and I think your husband was there, and we just struck up a conversation.
That's right.
And we've been acquaintances ever since. In 2007, you featured my dad in the Kiplinger Retirement Guide, which I still have copies sitting on my desk. And that, I can't believe that was 2007, 14 years ago. That's incredible.
That's hard to believe, and I remember the story well with Jerry.
Well, a lot has changed in our world since then, not to mention that we've gotten a little bit older. But over the past year, in your world, there's been no conferences, really no nothing. But people didn't stop turning 65, 66. We still have 10,000 people a day turning 65 in this country, and that's not going to stop for any time soon. They're needing to make Social Security decisions. Some had early retirement options. They were forced into a change last year. So in 2020, the theme is the show must go on. And even though we've been talking about these things for 14 years, is incredible that here we sit and people today need help more than ever, it seems like. Even though some might think it's a very simple concept, you get to Social Security, you take it, and you're done. But I listened to an hour and 20-minute podcast that you were on. It was actually last fall, I believe, and I wrote down all kinds of notes of things that you were talking about. And the thing that stuck out to me, and I'll be quiet and let you comment on this, that Social Security has been around for over 80 years. And that there are 2,700 rules that cover Social Security, and they, you know, it's not gotten any simpler, has it?
It certainly has not. And, you know, the COVID pandemic has done a lot of things to all of our lives. We're getting up close and personal with our family members that we share our households with. But as you mentioned, people continue to turn 65 or 66 at the rate of 10,000 people a day. Many of them are being forced to make a Social Security claiming decision earlier than they had planned because they've either lost their job due to the pandemic or due to health concerns. They're voluntarily retiring a bit early because mm-hmm. they're concerned about going back. And keep in mind that virtually the whole federal government is working from home as long as the rest of us. So it's not a matter of I can pop into my local Social Security field office to apply for benefits. Everything is being done either online or on the phone. And the more than 60,000 Social Security representatives, employees, are doing their best to keep up with this. But the demand is huge, and it can lead to a lot of confusion.
Well, and you have to go in armed with knowledge. And that's what you've done such a great job of doing, is just giving people knowledge, helping financial advisors create the knowledge that they need to help people. Because if you just go in blindly, we've said this forever, the Social Security office, like you said, God love them, they can only give you information. They are not allowed to give you advice. And even when they try to sort of slip some advice to you under the table, it isn't always the right advice. So comment on that, Mary Beth, how important it is to be armed with good information when you get ready to apply for your benefit.
Absolutely, because as you pointed out, the Social Security representative, it's their job to process your application. It is not their job to tell you the best time to claim Social Security benefits, because that's a very personal decision. There are some basics. Yes, if you claim your benefits as soon as possible at age 62, which may be appropriate in certain conditions, you have to be aware that your benefits are permanently reduced for the rest of your life. They do not magically, get boosted at your full retirement age. If you choose to claim those benefits early, you are making the decision, I want more smaller checks for the rest of my life, as opposed to people who are patient and willing to wait up until age 70. There's this huge payoff. They get an extra 8% per year in benefits for every year they delay between their full retirement age and age 70. But there's a wide swath of decisions in between, depending on your personal situation. Are you healthy? Are you likely to live a long time? Have you lost your job? Do you need the money now? Are you married? Are you a survivor? All of these questions have to be answered with the idea of how does your Social Security claiming strategy fit into your overall retirement income picture.
Let's take a quick break because we want Mary Beth to really dive into some of these topics, like when do you take your benefits? What if you are single, married, widowed, divorced? There's so many different things to think about. What if you have younger kids and you're eligible for Social Security? How does that impact your decision? So much to talk about, so little time. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. I was quickly doing some math in my head that if you took your benefit at 62, Social Security that is, versus at 70, not only did you take that major haircut of around 30% at 62 based on your full retirement age, but then you lost out on that the other 24. So potentially you could be out, nearly 60% of your benefit forever. And I know people get caught up on these break-even ages and things like that, but I've never had anybody on their deathbed, Mary Beth, say to me, oh my gosh, I'm dying at 78. I wish I would have taken my Social Security earlier. That's usually not something people are terribly worried about when they're on their deathbed. But, you've been caught up in this that discussion for many, many years. So before we get into the claiming strategies and different ways that people need to think about this, let's talk about the solvency of Social Security. When I was watching your podcast recently on this, I wrote down a few topics, and I just wanted to get your opinion and your thoughts, because you're connected better than anyone that I know of what's going on behind the scenes. Can people be assured that Social Security will be there when they need it? And I'll say this one thing before I unleash you on that topic. There was a USA Today piece a few years ago. In the far left-hand corner, if you recall, they would usually have a few little trivia things. And one of them was, how many of you believe in aliens? Well, something like 40 or 50% of people surveyed believed in aliens. And then when asked, how many of you believe Social Security will be there for you when you retire? It was a far less number, like 30%. So more people believed in aliens at that point in time than they believe that Social Security would be there for them when they retire. Comment on the solvency of Social Security.
Well, I think Social Security will always continue to be there, but it may not look exactly as it does now. Yes, it is facing a long-term financing problem unless Congress steps in. By 2034, the, quote, trust funds, which is the excess tax revenues Social Security has collected over the last 30 years, knowing that this huge generation of baby boomers would start retiring around 2010. When that trust fund runs out, there would still be enough money from ongoing payroll taxes, those FICA taxes that are direct deducted from our paycheck, to pay about 80% of promised benefits. Now, nobody, you, me, or anybody else in America, is not going to be satisfied with 80% or 79% of their promised Social Security benefits. They want all of them. Congress knows that. Congress also knows that Social Security is the most popular federal program in history, and more importantly, older people tend to vote in higher numbers than younger people. So Congress knows that this has to be fixed. But it also has a lot of other things on its plate, and lawmakers are not terribly good at doing things before they have to. Case in point, the last time the Social Security trust funds were in danger, Social Security was in danger of not being able to pay full benefits, was back in 1983. Mm-hmm. And Congress did fix it. When did they fix it? 1983. They didn't exactly rush in to save the program, but they did it at the 11th hour. You could see something like that happen again. Under current scenarios, the trust funds are expected to run dry around 2034. Now, frankly, I expect it to be sooner than that as a result of the pandemic, because what happened during the pandemic and a result of the recession that followed, we have fewer people working, which means fewer people are paying Social Security taxes, and you also have more people claiming Social Security benefits early because they've lost their jobs. So you have fewer people paying in, more people taking money out. I expect that trust fund exhaustion may move forward a year or two, which just means Congress is going to have to deal with it sooner rather than later.
You know, when you look at it, folks, most of you pay the 7.65%, which is mostly Social Security tax, some Medicare tax. Your employer pays the other half. So about 15%+ is being sent to the coffers. But that on the Social Security side is capped. And a lot of folks have hit the cap, go beyond the cap. I've always thought a really simple solution, Mary Beth, because everyone always talks about fairness and putting all the weight on the little guy. But, you know, what if they said, okay, we're going to impose Social Security tax all the way to $1 million of income, but we're not going to charge you 6%. We're only going to charge you everyone 2%. And I did some quick math on that based on, you know, the top 1% of income earners and all that. And it actually produces a tremendous amount of excess tax revenue by simply lowering the tax, increasing the threshold. And I was mentioning that to someone recently, and they're like, well, why don't they do that? And I said, because it's too easy. It's too simple. But it is a hot potato, and nothing happens in this country until there's a crisis. So let's wait until the remake of the movie 1983, and we'll do it again. I love the picture of Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill sitting there as Reagan's signing into law the changes of Social Security, which include the delay credits that you briefly talked about before we went to the break. And that is, well, how did you stop people from taking it at 62? Because back then, if you took it at 62, you could throw it in a U.S. Treasury paying double digits, guaranteed, right? Why would you not do that? So they came up with the delay credits and to try and solve the problem. Well, guess what? Interest rates went from double digits down to nearly zero. They've never changed the 8% delay credit. To me, it's the best deal going. We can't, I think, emphasize that enough, Mary Beth.
That's right. For people who are healthy enough, in other words, it only makes sense to delay collecting your Social Security benefits beyond your full retirement age up until age 70 if you think you're going to be around to get them. And wealthy enough, in other words, if I delay collecting Social Security, what am I doing for money in between? If you're like a lot of baby boomers who plan to keep working, well, problem solved. You've got money coming in. But there are people who could choose to retire and still delay collecting their Social Security benefit to get that extra 8% per year between their full retirement age 70. What do they do for money? Well, they may want to draw down on their IRA or their 401k in between as a way, as a bridge, basically an income bridge, to buy themselves a bigger Social Security benefit later, because two things are very important about Social Security. It pays you the rest of your life, no matter how long you live, and it's adjusted, I won't say each year, but most years, for cost of living adjustments. Even people who are lucky enough to have a pension, very few of them, unless they are retired government workers, have a pension with a cost of living adjustment.
Well, and currently the maximum benefit, or the maximum that is taxed, is 85% of your benefit. I see that possibly changing to 100%. In most states, it's not taxed at all. So there's just a lot. I mean, we did a segment last week on understanding the value of guaranteed lifetime income. Social Security was the mecca of lifetime income. It was the number one thing. And, you know, no one complains about that. But yet, if you suggest sometimes, hey, why don't you create your own annuity, your own guaranteed lifetime income? Sometimes people say, oh, wait. You mean I've got to lock up my money in something to give me this guaranteed income? So it's just a matter of educating. This is something we've been doing here on the show for a long time. Again, not promoting necessarily a strategy, but informing people of what they need to be thinking about. So let's talk about the most typical situation, the married couple. And just walk through, Mary Beth, if you don't mind, just a couple of different scenarios. If you're married, just things you should be thinking about or considering when it comes to claiming a benefit. Because I always say to people, listen, when you decide to claim a certain benefit or a certain strategy or adopt one, you're really adopting a family strategy. It's not just for you, but it's the collectiveness of you and your spouse. So, Mary Beth, let's talk about the most common, and that's when people are married.
That's absolutely right, David. Married couples should think of their Social Security claiming decision as a household decision rather than two independent decisions. And why is that? Because let's say both the husband and wife have a Social Security benefit based on their own earnings record. That means they're each entitled to a retirement benefit. It's likely that one of those benefits is bigger. And when one spouse dies, the larger Social Security benefit will continue in the form of a survivor benefit, and the smaller one goes away. So that's why married couples, their main goal in deciding when to claim Social Security should be, how do I maximize the survivor benefit? And generally, you do that by having the spouse that has the bigger Social Security benefit, which is still often the man, to wait up until age 70 to claim that benefit. Let's say his full retirement age benefit at 66 is $2,000 a month. If he waits until 70 to collect it 4 years later, he's going to get an extra 32%. His benefit's going to be worth $2,640 a month. And here's a stark difference. The difference between him claiming a reduced retirement benefit early at 62 versus the maximum by waiting till 70, that's an 8-year period, he increases his Social Security monthly benefit by 76% for the rest of his life. And if he dies first, that's the benefit that his widow is going to collect on a monthly basis. So you can see the value of a married couple saying, okay, let's have one spouse, the one with the bigger benefit, wait until 70. But having made that decision, it's then possible that the other spouse with the smaller benefit may actually want to go ahead and collect her benefit early at 62, assuming she's not working. And even though her retirement benefit would be reduced for the rest of her life, it would have no impact on her survivor benefit. If she is at least full retirement age when she is widowed, she would still get 100% of what her late husband was collecting at time of death. So that's a great way for married couples to coordinate their claiming strategy.
Now, Mary Beth, you have an ebook, and I know it's still out there. I was looking at it online that people can go on and purchase. Tell us about that, because you lay out in that particular book everything. I mean, everything that we're going to talk about today and more. So if people wanted to get a copy of your ebook, how do they do that?
Well, my ebook is available through Investment News. You would go to www.investmentnews.com/MBF ebook. That's my three initials, MBF ebook. It has all the rules and strategies that you need to know. Now, I promise I don't cover 2,700 rules. It's basically everything you need to know based on your marital status and your age. Whether you're married, single, divorced, a survivor, a parent with young children. And it also includes some key tips about enrolling in and the cost of Medicare, which goes hand in glove with Social Security.
Before I ask you this next question, you just reminded me of a funny story. When I was probably 20 years old, I moved back to Bloomington from Greenville, where I played football, and I was at home, and I started coaching football. And I was the seventh grade head football coach at Edgewood High School over on the west side of town. And I mean, I'm fired up. I think I have my team ready to play. Like, it's go time. It's game time. And this kid, I forget his name, but he raised his hand, and I said, "Yeah, what do you want?" He said, "Coach, can you just tell us the rules?" And then that was right before the game started. I'm like, "What? You don't know the rules? Well, you'll figure it out as you go." Unfortunately, you can't figure out Social Security as you go. You need to know the rules going up front. So my dad's 73 now, believe it or not. When you did the article on him, he was 59, called The Late Boomer's Guide. I know, incredible. He, of course, with your information and my implementation, did exactly what was available at the time. He did what was called a restricted application. So my stepmother, Jeannie, applied. He applied for his spousal benefit. He delayed his till 70, and now he's happier than a pig in mud, as we say in southern Indiana. Now, Mary Beth, you are now of that age of making your own decisions. And I was watching the podcast on someone asking this question, so I figured it was fair game, that the Social Security guru of America, as you're well known in our circles, is now making her own decisions about when to take Social Security. Tell us what you talked about in that podcast, if you remember, on your claiming strategy and why you still can do something that most people cannot.
Well, you're right. I actually have personal experience now applying for Social Security benefits. You mentioned the restricted application. This is a claiming strategy that is very valuable to married couples and, in certain cases, eligible divorced spouses who were married at least 10 years before being divorced. And it depends on their birthday. What happens is if your spouse is already claiming benefits and you were born on or before January 1st, 1954, that means you were at least 66 years old in 2019. You could say to Social Security, "Hey, I don't want to claim my own benefits. Let them keep growing by 8% a year up until age 70. But in the meantime, pay me as a spouse. Give me half of my husband or wife's full retirement age benefit. If my husband's getting $2,000 a month, as a spouse, I can get $1,000 a month." Well, because of these rule changes that created this demarcation in the birth line, only people who were born on or before January 1st, 1954 gets to use this valuable strategy. Everybody born after that date can't use it. So in my husband and I situation, I missed the cutoff. I was born in December 1954, meaning I can't do anything fancy. But my husband, 2 years older than I am, he was born in 1952. So we knew as a couple we could still use this strategy to coordinate our claiming strategies, that once I claimed my Social Security benefit, he could then file a restricted claim for spousal benefits only and get half of my benefit. So in December, this past December, I turned 66, full retirement age, and it's also the age where the earnings restrictions go away, meaning I can continue to work and have my salary and it will not reduce my Social Security benefits. If I claim before my full retirement age, I could lose some or all of my benefits temporarily. So in December, I filed online for my Social Security benefits, since that's the only way to do it these days. And I have to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised. I got an immediate email confirmation that my application had been received. Within a week or two, I received a confirmation letter in the mail of how much my monthly benefits would be and how much of my monthly Medicare Part B premiums would be deducted from the Social Security. And sure enough, the following month in January 2021, I received my first direct deposit of my Social Security check. I thought, wow, this is great. Now that we know that's official, now my husband, Mike, we're going to go online, and he's going to file a restricted claim for spousal benefits. And that was early December. And we didn't hear anything through Christmas and New Year's. And we thought, well, you know, the wheels of government come to a grinding halt during the holidays. And then a few more weeks went by. And after 7 weeks, I said, this is ridiculous. We need to follow up on this. Well, the first thing you want to do when you apply for Social Security benefits and you get this confirmation in the mail, it tells you which Social Security regional office is handling your application. Now, in normal times, when people are going into their local offices, it's more likely that their regional office where they live is handling their application. But during the pandemic, these applications are going all over the country. And even though I live in Virginia, the application my husband sent in says it was being handled in Boston. Okay. We called the Boston office. First person said, you've called the wrong office. And we said, no, we have a letter that says Boston's handling it. Okay. They transfer us to the second person who said, oh, all right, but since he is applying on your benefits, you'll have to talk to the employee that processed your benefits, Mary Beth. Okay, transfer me to the third person who said, oh, no, I handled your benefits, not your husband's. So I'll have to transfer you to a fourth person who handled his benefits, and bingo, we got the right person. Now, I'm loaded for bear. I know his situation is complicated because he's a retired federal employee.
Oh, yeah.
And he was originally under the old civil service system that did not participate in Social Security. But he left the government. He came back and participated in their alternative retirement system where he paid into Social Security. And so all these government offset rules would not apply to him. And I had, you know, all the regulations in front of me ready to argue his case that, you know, he was not affected by these offset. And the intake person who had handled his claim looked through it and said, oh, yeah, I handled this claim. Looks like I forgot to finish the application. Can you verify what date you're married? Are you still married? Okay, fine. He's done. 2 weeks later, he got his benefits. So the bottom line of that is, while patience is a virtue, sometimes perseverance is what gets the job done.
So let me ask you this. When Mike turns 70, would you need to get a hold of Social Security again to flip on his benefit, or will it automatically flip over to his age 70 benefit when he gets to that age?
That's an excellent question, because at this point he's collecting on my record.
Right.
Technically, he has not filed for his own retirement benefits. In the past, he would have to call or visit his local Social Security office to say, okay, and now I'm turning 70, I want to switch to my own larger benefits. But again, during the pandemic, we can't go visit anything in person. One of the silver linings of the pandemic is Social Security has moved more of its benefit processes online.
Yeah.
So if this situation continued when he got to 70, technically up to 4 months before he turned 70, he could merely go online and actually start a new application for his own retirement benefit, since he's currently claiming online. And in the remarks section, he would write, I have been collecting spousal benefits on my wife's benefit. Now I want to switch my own maximum benefit at 70.
Yeah, folks, they're not going to pick up the phone and call you. You need to be proactive when it comes to these types of things. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to Mary Beth about, we talked a little bit about the spousal benefit, divorcee, also widows. We only have a handful of minutes left with Mary Beth, but I want to dig into her knowledge bank here just a little bit deeper. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Once again, if you want to order Mary Beth's ebook on all the wonderful ways to claim Social Security and the little mistakes that cannot be fixed and some that can be fixed, go over to investmentnews.com/MBF/ebook. Or, you know, the way I did it, I just Googled Mary Beth's Social Security book, and guess what? It popped up. All kinds of great things popped up. So Mary Beth Franklin is our guest, formerly with Kiplinger, now as a contributing editor of Investment News, also a nationally recognized speaker at the Speakers Bureau. I looked at that this morning. Kind of cool seeing all the different things that you can speak on. And now I just want you to take a few minutes, Mary Beth, and talk about, okay, unfortunately, I was mentioning this earlier, that about 80% of men in America die while married, but almost the exact same percentage of women die single for two reasons. One, they outlive men typically, and two, a lot of later age divorces happen, and the men will get remarried, and the women are like, nope, I've done that. I'm not going to do that again. So we have to deal with divorcees. We have to deal with people being widowed. Can you briefly just kind of talk about the how people need to address that situation, whether it's a divorce situation or whether they're widowed?
Yes, a critical thing for people who are divorced to know that as long as you are married at least 10 years, divorced, and currently single, you may be able to claim benefit on your ex-spouse's earnings record. Now, if you're married one day less than 10 years, no luck. It's got to be 10 years or more. And when you remarry, you lose the right to collect on a living ex. But if you wait till age 60 or later to remarry and your ex dies, you may be able to collect survivor benefits on that ex, even if you're married to somebody else.
There you go. Crazy. I mean, you need to know these rules, and Mary Beth knows them all. And I always wonder, Mary Beth, because I claim to know a lot about a few things, and sometimes I'll learn something new, and I'll think, I get mad because I didn't know it already. Is there anything ever that comes up about Social Security or Medicare that you just think to yourself, how did I not know that?
Absolutely. It happens more often than I care to admit, but great example. I wrote an article last week, in fact. Now, normally, if someone is approved for Social Security disability benefits because they can no longer work or they're terminally ill, normally those benefits will automatically convert to retirement benefits when they reach full retirement age, but the amount remains the same. Mm-hmm. I learned that people who are on disability can choose to switch to reduced retirement benefits at 62, maybe because they're getting other kind of benefits that have income tax, somehow it works in their favor. And they are the only group of people that once they reach full retirement age, their benefits will bounce up to the full retirement age benefit. I never knew this, and I learned it last week.
Hey, there you go, folks. If she didn't know it, I can guarantee you that most of you, including yours truly, didn't know it either. Mary Beth, I can't thank you enough for being part of the program. I appreciate you more than you can imagine, and hopefully we'll have you back again sometime soon.
Sounds great, David. Stay safe, and hopefully things will return to normal soon, whatever normal means in the new world.
Amen. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, we didn't even get into a lot of the discussion about if you're divorced a little bit, if you're widowed, you need to be married 2 years before you could then claim on your spouse. If you have children that are under the age of 18 and you're on benefits or on disability, they would qualify for benefits. So there's all these dynamics that with Social Security, and hopefully we brought you some of the high points. But when there's 2,700 rules that cover Social Security and you only have Mary Beth Franklin for, call it 20 minutes tops, maybe a little more, you're not going to cover them all. So again, if you'd like to get a copy of her ebook, it's really good. I think it's like $20, but it'll be the best $20 you've spent all year, and maybe even the last 10 years. But it's like $20. Go to investmentnews /MBF/ebook, or just Google Mary Beth's Social Security, Maximizing Social Security book. It'll come up. You can buy it. It just shows up in your email, and bang, you're an expert just like that. Actually, sometimes the more you read, the more you get confused. So that's why we have a job, thankfully, for that. So I'm going to take a quick break, come back, wrap up the big show. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Hope you enjoyed the replay of Mary Beth Franklin. It was great. You know, going into a show, you never know exactly how it's going to unfold. I have bullet points and questions I want to ask, but it always goes off in different directions. I thought the best part was asking her about her own situation. That was off script, and she answered it. I thought that was outstanding. And if you'd like to get her book on maximizing Social Security, don't forget investmentnews/Mary Beth Franklin. That's MBF. You don't have to type it out. /ebook, or just Google it and you can get it. So I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back live again next week after being in sunny Florida, which I can tell you real quick, I scheduled this when the temperature was zero and a foot of snow on the ground. When I'm getting ready to leave, there's no snow on the ground. It was 60 degrees when I came in. Great idea, bad timing, but who cares? I'll be in Miami. We'll talk to you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.